Welcome to the City on a Hill, our podcast this evening, and we're so glad you're able to join us. I am so blessed in the Lord to be able to be here and talk about the things of God. It's my favorite thing to do. I have learned, and I say this to my family, I say it all the time, that when God's people come together and talk, good things happen.
Yes.
The spirit world goes to work, and when the spirit world around us starts going to work, good things happen. That helps to bring us into the supernatural. So I hope you're ready to be a part of what we're doing tonight. But I do encourage you to listen by the Spirit of the Lord. Touch your ears and pray over them, because I believe the things we talk about on these Friday night podcasts are things that will not just help you, not just change you, but they will lift you into the supernatural. That's what we're talking about, the remnant. You see the sign behind me. That's what we're about. We're about a remnant people, which in essence is a supernatural people. That's what pleases God. That's what God is looking for. I've got Benji over here on this side. I've got my wife Julie on this side. And I want to jump into something that's been on my heart all week. It actually started last Sunday. I at least a little bit talked about it. And then Wednesday night during our service, I began the message the Lord gave me. It really wasn't what the message was about, but I felt I needed to read this scripture again. So I did, and talked about it a little bit. And so we got here today and we sat down, and my wife sat here and she said, I really had on my heart that same scripture. And I said, well, that's funny. That's what I had on my heart. I said, I kind of thought everybody would be like, well, you just talked about it for two services in a row. But there's something going on about that scripture. And I believe it's touching other people's hearts. And so if you're watching tonight and you saw Sunday or Wednesday, this will be familiar. If you didn't, then this will be new to you. But Julie, go ahead and read to you the scripture I talked about. Read on from the book of Matthew. This is a scripture that I think most Christians that have been around at all probably know. But it's one of those scriptures that we kind of wish was not in the Word of God. And I don't say that glibly or even jokingly. It really is true. I think most Christians, most ministers wish that this scripture was not in the Word of God, because it throws out of balance everything that man has come up with in how to serve God. But if you want to serve God the way He wants you to serve Him, if you want to please God, if you want to be the remnant, then this scripture is something that you've got to understand, assimilate, and learn to live out. Go ahead and read it, Julie, from Matthew.
And remember, these are Jesus' words Himself that He was speaking.
Exactly, exactly.
Matthew 10, verse 34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it."
Well, praise the Lord. Now, let me just talk about what I've already talked about on Sunday and Wednesday before we get into any new stuff. First of all, let's talk about the part about taking up your cross. And I mentioned this on Wednesday night. I had someone ask me, they said, what does that mean? What is your cross? And I immediately said to them, well, if you're on a cross, what are you losing? And they said, well, you're losing your life. And I said, that's the idea behind taking up your cross. You're taking up your life and you're losing it. That's literally what Jesus said next. He said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And he was trying to say to them, you don't have to die the way I'm going to die to lose your life. You have to take up your cross. You have to literally surrender your life and say, God, my life is nothing unless it is for your kingdom and for your purpose. Jesus said it this way in another scripture. He said, without me, you could do nothing. And that's something that the devil has so humanized Christianity that we forget without him, we could do nothing. And so Jesus was saying, he said, listen, take up your cross and follow me. Now let's get to the other part of it where he said, I have not come to bring peace. He said, I've come to bring a sword. Listen, you can.
Brutal.
It is brutal. You can theology and modern language and
twist it around.
You could do whatever you want to do that scripture, and you can't change the fact that Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And I don't care on what side of the aisle you fall. You might fall on the side of the aisle of of blood and guts. You might fall on the side of the aisle of just complete
passive
hippy dippy stuff. You can fall on any side you want to. You can't do away that Jesus was telling those people that if you love me and if you serve me, then you have to be willing to live with this sword that's going to come down and bring separation, because you have to love me. And when he was talking about love, he meant love that you can see. You have to show love to me more than you do anyone else. And that so throws a wrench in what everybody believes today. It so throws
throws people off guard.
Well, it really does. It people have their own theology about how things are supposed to work, and they get comfortable with that theology. They get comfortable thinking, well, this is the Jesus that I serve. Mm-hmm. This is the God that I serve. I hear it from people all the time, and they just glibly throw out there, well, if God isn't like this, then I don't want to serve a God that doesn't love like this, or I don't want to serve a God that acts like this. And they throw it because they're so confident that they're right, that they throw out things like that. And I think to myself, do you have no fear of the awesomeness of what you're saying of our God? Do you not understand? And I've been saying a lot recently, based on the word of God, that you just get this thought when you read scriptures that there's going to be a lot of people that think they're going to heaven. And boy, I just don't know, because Jesus said there's going to be a lot of people that come and say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did great things in your name. We did all this thing ministering for you in your name. And Jesus said, I'm going to look at you and say, I never knew you. That's another scripture people don't like to hear. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said that. And you can twist it any way you want to, but he said it.
In a broad sense, our job as the remnant, we are the remnant, and we've got to get the message out that there are so many people out there who think they're serving God the right way.
That, well, you see, and that's the point of the remnant. There has to be a remnant that God can point to and say, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm wanting you to be. And that's why we're desperate in our small little way here to bring about a visible remnant. And, you know, again, people say, well, why you? Why this ministry? Why this place? But that's what this heritage was called to for many, many decades, even not just in this country. There was, and going back in our heritage, those of you that know anything about us, in the country of Armenia, which was the first Christian nation on this planet, God found a remnant group of people that he can use and show his prophetic power and show this is what I'm looking for. And there were upwards of 2 million people that got killed in the destruction while God saved his remnant. And I've been to whoever will listen, it's coming again. I don't know when, I don't know how, but the destruction is coming in some way, and God is saying, who's going to be a part of that remnant? Mm-hmm. Because as Jesus said, he said, it will be like the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, once the door was shut, it was shut. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anyone's listening. I don't know. But I know that the destruction is coming. I know that the prophetic anointing on my life keeps telling me, even when I don't want to say it. I almost say it without even, I try not to say it. And it just keeps coming out. I know the destruction is coming. And that brings us back to this scripture. Jesus said, you think I came to bring peace? I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. He said, father will be against son, mother against daughter. In other words, in any given home, you have to choose. Mm-hmm. You have to make that hard choice, and don't get caught up in the relationships that he said. The relationships that he said are just an example of all the relationships we have.
Representative.
No matter who or what it is you're doing, if you're not showing the proper honor and respect of pleasing God, then you're not worthy of it. You say, oh, well, no, listen, I know I've been found in Christ Jesus, and I have everything that I need through him. That only works if you're running after God the proper way. That doesn't work just because you say it works. That doesn't work just because you say I'm a Christian. That doesn't say just because you want it to be. That only works if you're pleasing God.
And you're not going to get anywhere by trying to pray that you'll never have to choose between running after God and a relative and that you can all just do it together. Because God is always going to be looking for loyalty in each individual heart.
Right.
Now, let me kind of get to something. I did not say this, I don't think, on Sunday or Wednesday. But let me get to what people, I know some people might have, their thoughts go to when we read that scripture. They say, well, we're coming up on the Christmas season. And didn't the angels get up and say, peace on earth at the birth, peace on earth? But you're mixing up two totally, totally different principles. The angels were proclaiming that now that Christ came, mm-hmm. there was now hope that there could be peace. Mm-hmm. There was now hope that people that serve him can actually have peace. There was now, whereas everything was gloom and darkness, there was finally hope on earth that there could be peace and life and victory. But there's a principle found throughout the Word of God. And it's all throughout God's word. And we don't have time in our little podcast here to go scripture by scripture. I hope that you go for yourself and look. But there's a principle. And it's this, that if there's no justice, then there's no peace. Mm. And you know, that kind of sounds yes. like a rally cry from people demonstrating, you know, no justice, no peace. But that principle actually is a biblical principle. That is a principle from God's word, that until people are just and are following God's just law and are following God's principle of pleasing him, then there is no peace until that time. You can't have peace until there's justice, until God's law of justice is living out in the land. And that's really what Jesus was trying to say to them. He was trying to say, there's no justice in the land. No one's following. They're following a law. The scribes, the Pharisees, the ones he called the hypocrites, they were following a law, but they weren't following God's just law, the law of heaven. They weren't following that. And without justice, there is no peace.
Can I talk a little bit more about the peace on earth, and the use of the Prince of Peace, Jesus being the Prince of Peace? When I think about that, I think about the term peace being used scripturally regarding Jesus as the all-encompassing what salvation is all about. Peace with God.
Yes.
It's that relationship.
Yes, that's right.
It's
that's
that restored and reconciled our position with God. The peace refers to that we now have peace with God. As Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well,
there's your Prince of Peace. There's your peace on earth.
I'm glad you said that and read that, because that's what I was trying to say. When he came, there was now hope of having peace.
Yes.
There, finally, men and women that were serving God, but there was no final answer in their hearts. Now they could finally stand in that final answer of having peace with God.
With the white robes.
But you know, you can't take that scripture and then throw out the scripture we read today.
Right.
There has to be a way for them to work together. And the only way for them to work together is what we're discussing. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Well, what does the peace on earth mean? It means exactly what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you put it together. It's not talking about just going everywhere and say, hey, let's just be happy and have peace. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about peace with God. Because you can't throw away the scripture that Jesus said. There's going to be two people living in a home. One of them is going to not maybe serve the way you serve. You have to be willing to say, you're not like me. I want you to be like me, but you're not. So I have to run after God. I have to run after Christ. He who takes up his cross, not leaves the cross sitting in the living room, not leaves the cross sitting in the bedroom.
Hanging on the wall.
Not has a cross, you know, sitting there and saying to their children, hey, that's a beautiful cross, isn't it?
Or hanging around their neck.
It's being willing to say, hey, I'm willing because I love God so much, I might have to turn away from you. You might be my child. You might be my brother, my sister. You might be my parent. But I can't do what you do. And if you're not willing to live the way I live, Jesus said he brought a sword because I have to show him that I'm worthy to follow. I have to show him that because that's what Jesus said. I have to show him because if I don't, Jesus said I'm not worthy of him. Mm-hmm. I'm not worthy of him. And then people might immediately think, well, does that mean they're not going to heaven? Maybe. I don't, maybe. You say, well, that's a big statement. Well, you tell me what that means.
Better to go after God than sit at home thinking about it.
Absolutely right. There's another scripture that as we sat down, it came to my heart immediately came, and I had you look it up. Can you read the scripture in Jeremiah for us?
Yes. It's Jeremiah chapter 8, starting in verse 13.
And while you say that, just let me just add to what I just said. Because I never know who's listening to these podcasts, but I need you to understand something. That just because you've been taught something about salvation, just because you think to yourself, well, you know, I know these people, they might not be doing exactly what you're saying, but I know these are good people, and I've heard them say the name Jesus a couple of times. I know they're going to be going to heaven. You keep telling yourself that, because I'm telling you, you search your heart, you don't know that. You might think you know that, but you don't know that. And it would be awfully sad for you to get before the Lord and to not see people that you had an opportunity. And maybe it's not other people. Maybe it's you I'm talking to. Maybe it's you that you think you've been serving the Lord. And you say, well, you're trying to scare me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to love you. And I'm trying to say to you, I want to see you in heaven with the Lord.
Was it on Wednesday where you said that the only indicator of knowing for a fact you're going to heaven is if you're on fire for the Lord?
Well, you know, that if someone's not on fire for the Lord, then how do you... My Bible that I read talks about that when you're saved, you have a life change. That you have a life change. And so if your life has not changed, then can you really say, well, I know that I'm going to heaven, and I know that's harsh. I know that's harsh. But I've heard people that we're close to, I've heard people say, well, you know, I just know that God wouldn't do that to me. I just know that I'm going to heaven. But you're living like the world?
What's indicative of your salvation if you're still using profane language and doing stuff like that?
You know, that's just one example. There's a million different things we could bring up. And again, no one's perfect. This guy's not perfect. This guy's not perfect. None of us are perfect. We fall short in so many different ways.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying. We fall short so many times in so many different ways. So many different ways. That's not the point. But the point is we go back to the scripture that we just read. Have you taken up your cross? Have you taken up your cross and are following after God? Go ahead and read that scripture in Jeremiah.
All right, it's Jeremiah 6, starting in verse 13. Because the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen.
You see, that sounds so much like today's church. So much. It makes me want to laugh. It sounds so much like today's church. That's what the message you hear today. Let's just have peace in the church. Let's go storm the Capitol. Let's go become politically motivated. But let's have just peace amongst. Let's just speak peace. And the prophet said there. He said there is no peace because God's justice his just law has not been followed. He said the prophet has failed. The priest has failed. They've all failed. And because of that, you will have no peace in your life. This sounds so much like what's being ministered in the church today. And let me add this, because I know I've heard this from people, and I know people think this. They say, Pastor, Prophet, Danny. They say, listen, they say, you're trying to tear down what the church has ministered for the last 25 or 30 years. The church has finally gotten away this is not my words, this is what they say. They have finally gotten away from the fear-based serving God. where you're trying to bring fear into people's lives to make them serve God. Now, again, that's not my words. That's what we have finally gotten away from that to where we could just say, hey, let's just have peace and gather and you know, let's just talk about love. Let's not talk about that scripture that Jesus said. Let's just talk about love. And if it doesn't directly, if you can't use the word love, then you know, they don't understand that the greatest love is speaking
yes.
the truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But they say you're tearing down what the church has been trying to get away. We're trying to get away from that. We've spent 30 years trying to get away from what you're talking about. And maybe it's not directly what this is, but
that's what's in their hearts.
But you see, that's what the scripture says. It says you need to go back to the old ways. Maybe we need to go back to some of that ministry of saying, hey, I'm trying to pull you out of the fires of hell. Maybe we need to go back to that. You say, well, that scares people. Well, would you rather be scared and go to heaven or talk about love and go to hell? But let me tell you, there's a lot of religions out there that talk about love. A lot of religions that go and talk about love. A lot of them. And I know that's why a lot of Christians have begun to the belief of, well, you know, let's just not cast these people out that don't believe like us. And if you don't think that's happening, go look it up. Go see how many churches are starting to turn to that now. Because when all you do is talk about love without holiness, you go off the wrong path. And likewise, if you only speak fear and not love, then you go wrong.
Or you go nowhere.
But I'm telling you, maybe it's time to go back to the old paths. Maybe it's time to go back to some of those things that the church took out 35 years ago with the rise of what I call these seeker-friendly churches. Hey, just come as you are. Just dress as you want to dress. Just be who you want to be. We're you know, I see on every sign as I drive down the road here, every other church has on their sign, welcome home. Because we want it to be just like you living in your living room. We want you to feel just like you do if you were in front of a big screen TV. Welcome home. Kick your shoes off. Relax. Relax. Everything's going to be okay. Let's just talk about love a little bit. And you know what Jesus would do? He would put his foot down and he would say, don't talk about peace. There's no peace. There's no peace. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Not against people that don't believe politically the way you do. I've come to bring a sword in your own home. Oh. And so I say again, this is now the third time we've ministered on this scripture this week. And it keeps growing in my heart. And for some reason, God's people want to throw scriptures like this out, not literally, but they don't want to teach from them. Because it, as I said in the beginning, it does away with everything that they've been trying to accomplish. Because if they can just get people, just welcome home. And maybe if we can get several thousand people together here, then maybe we can get well known. And maybe if you dump a little bit of money out here and maybe we can build something that really looks nice and we can get the attention and maybe we can get some celebrities to come and maybe the politicians will want to come and stand in our and talk to you and we're gonna do so much for God because we're just talking about love. And in the middle of that, God is finding his little, bitty, tiny remnant. He's finding the 300 of Gideon. He's finding the 7,000 of Elijah. And people say, well, 7,000 is a lot more than 300. Not when you consider it was 7,000 of millions. Mm-hmm. God's finding. He's finding his little remnant. God always uses a remnant. And there's a lot of people in a lot of places that one day, just like in the country of Armenia, where our people came from, who are these crazy people talking about destruction? Who are these crazy people talking about a true prophetic anointing? Who are these people trying to stir it up? Are they trying to get a name for themselves? No, we're trying to get you ready. We're trying to speak the remnant message. Because in the end, when it happens and the door shuts, then it's too late. Jesus, or I should say, the Word of God talks about, it says, lest any man fall short. Mm-hmm. Lest any man fall short of the grace of God. It's another scripture you won't hear people talking about. You won't hear them using. And in that same verse, few verses of scripture there, it says this. It says, Esau, for a morsel of bread, gave up his birthright. Don't give up your birthright, because you only get one. When you're born again, you're given a birthright. Just like someone on earth might be given a birthright. When you're born again, you're given a birthright. Once it's gone, it's gone. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Again, I don't know who's hearing me. I don't know who's listening to me. But if I can reach, if I can get into the hearts of one or two, then I will say, Lord, thank you. And I ask you to reach out to us. Come and visit us. Come and see what a small remnant people look like, prophetic people. Because I'm telling you, once the door is shut, it's shut. Visit us, watch us, come see us, tell them when they can, Benji.
All right. You can come to our regular services that we have in person at the City on a Hill Church Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night, 7 p.m. We're in Loganville, Georgia, City on a Hill Church. And we also have online platforms that you can watch those services online and Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. On our online platforms, we also got things coming out every day. Devotions Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101 with me Tuesday at 8 p.m. Online. The Calling the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. Listen to these podcasts on Spotify. Tell Siri and Alexa to play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast. And like he said, please come visit us. That's what we want to encourage people to do, because yes, we want to encourage people to hear the Word of God, not just hear the Word of God, but receive it so they can apply it to their lives.
You know, when we first started these podcasts about a year or so ago, I guess it was.
Has it really been a year?
Wow. Something like a year. I don't
close
know.
To it. Close
9 months, it. 10 months. Like, what difference does it make?
Time flies when you're speaking the Word of God.
But when we first started, we didn't really know what form. I just knew that God said to start it. And as I see it forming, it really is a place for us to talk about the hard things. Mm-hmm. And we're getting a library of these podcasts put together that you can access at any time, that you can go back and say, you know, I know they talked about this. Let me go and listen to see what they said. And I encourage you to talk to and pray and say, Lord, show my heart. My heart's been moved, but I need you to teach me, Lord. And the Holy Spirit will teach. He's everywhere. Isn't it great that the Holy Spirit is everywhere?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will teach your heart. He really will. But you know, at some point, you've got to reach out to where the anointing is. You have to. You have to. Even Abraham had to reach out to where the anointing was. That's the way God works. And so consider this ministry your Melchizedek opportunity. And I know there's a lot there, and a lot the Bible says about Melchizedek. And maybe I don't want to oversimplify it, but come and visit the Lord here. You say, well, I could do it at home. Yeah, you can. You can visit the Lord at home. But at some point, God requires that you reach out to the anointing if you're going to go where you want to go in the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's just the way God does things. And so I encourage you, come and visit us. Reach out to us and say, I Pastor, man of God, I want more. I want more. And if you want more, I believe God will help you get more. And we'll do everything we can to facilitate it in your life. God bless you. We'll see you next time.